welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. With the changing to battlefield dynamics, the way we train must also adapt for winning the next fight and increasing our lethality. Technology has enabled us to train in more complex scenarios, with commanders able to accomplish mission command training objectives all while in a simulated environment. Today, we're going to discuss the organization that provides sustainment simulation support at the point of need, which is the Sustainment Exercise and Simulation Directorate, SESD. If you've ever done a command post exercise or a warfighter exercise, then you've probably interacted with this organization. But maybe you don't know that they have to offer, or you might not know that there's an entire organization dedicated to providing this type of training assistance. Don't worry, you're not alone. I didn't even know that they had everything that this organization had to offer until I sat down with my guest, who serves as the director for this organization, Colonel Michael Barnett. Colonel Barnett is a 1990 graduate of Norwich University, the Military College of Vermont, with a Bachelor of Science degree in Marketing and Management. He followed a traditional civilian career path in the automotive distribution industry, working for the Automotive Carrier Division of Ryder Trucking in New Jersey and Minnesota, and later the corporate office of the Allied Automotive Group based in Georgia, where he led their research and development office until his departure to active service. In 1996, Colonel Barnett enlisted in the Minnesota National Guard as a 19-kilo tanker and later commissioned as an armor second lieutenant. He transferred to the Georgia National Guard and deployed in 2005 to Operation Iraqi Freedom. Following deployment, he graduated from the Maneuver Captain's Career Course at Fort Knox, Kentucky in 2007. After graduating from Command and General Staff College in 2013, he was assigned as the Experimentation Officer to the Mission Command Battle Lab at Fort Leavenworth as a New Models and Simulation FA-57 officer. He has held numerous assignments and commands from Modified Tank Companies and 1st Battalion 34th Armor to the 1st Infantry Division Chief of Knowledge Management. He's a very diverse career, including being selected for Senior Service College, where he earned a Master's of Strategic Studies from the U.S. Army War College at Carlisle Barracks, and holds a Master's of Business Administration from Webster University. His wealth of knowledge and experience is perfect to lead us through today's discussion. So happy to have you on the show today, sir. Welcome.
Garrett, hey, it's great to be here with you and the sustainment team here at Fort Lee. I look forward to the conversation and sharing our knowledge with the community and any way that SESD can help out with training and building readiness.
So, yeah, I just want to really thank you for taking the time to come in today, really get our audience an understanding of what your organization offers to the force. But kind of to start us off, because I know some people are not going to be completely familiar with your organization, so can you describe what the Sustainment Exercise and Simulation, you know, Directorate, the SESD, like what it is, what it does?
Great, Garrett. Thank you. So to start off, SESD is the sustainment training arm of the National Simulation Center under the Combined Arms Center for Training, also known as CACT, which is why we are an organization forward deployed from Leavenworth. And when people see us, we have a much different patch than the rest of the organization. We are the only organization in the Army that provides the sustainment simulation capability that trains sustainment units from brigade through theater Army and including elements of the joint force. We've been doing this roughly since 1994, when this organization first came about as a department in what is now known as CASCOM. Because of the sustainment role, we stayed here at Fort Lee, and when the newly created National Simulation Center stood up at Fort Leavenworth, the decision was made to keep the sustainment sim here at Fort Lee. The sustainment tools that we started out with, the first one was called the Combat Service Support Training Simulation System, or CSS-TSS. Some of your listeners who have been around for a few days may be very familiar with that. The next system that came about was called BCS-3, which was Battle Command Sustainment Support System. And then we have what the current evolution of training uses called the Jalictic, or the Joint Land Component Constructive Training Capability. Our office is also now deeply involved in the development of Next Generation Constructive, which is going to help forces from the training community and ultimately the exercise community work off of a common platform to help with training and build readiness across the force. So hope that answers that part of that first question.
No, well, one, I didn't realize it was that old. Now I'm like, well, man, this is as old as I am right now. Especially be able to see the generations, the different technology that has come about through the years, and seeing how you guys have adapted to the new technology, provide the most state-of-the-art simulation training. Especially be able to, and it's interesting to see that, and it's good to see that we have something specifically for sustainment. So when you're going out and doing these exercises, like you guys are provided specifically for the sustainment units, which I guess kind of leads into, so what all exercises do you support?
So we are charged specifically to support every command post exercise number 3, which every division and corps and some brigades will conduct. CPX-3 is one of their last home station training events before they go into a warfighter or some other large collective training event. There are some events in Europe, Austere Challenge. There's events in the Pacific Theater. Pacific Century is one. And other events like that we support. So like I said, we support CPXs, we support warfighters, we support theater and expeditionary sustainment units, all the way through Army component commands, and in some cases, the joint force. And we do that here from Fort Lee with our team of officers, NCOs, warrants, Army civilians, and contractors to help the sustainment enterprise.
So everything's based out of here?
Yes.
Okay, so... so pretty much your team, anytime, it doesn't matter what type of exercise it is, will go out, let's just say, down to Fort Hood and do an exercise, or they go out to Germany. Like, they're always coming out of here.
Correct.
To do that.
Right. So our simulation, so the LOGFAS, some people also call it as LOGFED, and JDLM, which is the Joint Deployment Logistics Model. So those models will be combined into a larger model, which some folks will know as WARSIM. That is being pushed from the National Simulation Center at Fort Leavenworth. So when we join the Federation, it's when you bring all these models together, we push from here on any number of networks that we have available to us, from U.S. Secret through 5i, partner networks like Centrix-K and Centrix-J, so we can support any number of exercises based on the training audience. And we do that from here. At any given time, we can support up to 7 locations across the globe with these networks. In one recent Indo-PACOM exercise, we had personnel in Korea, Japan, Alaska, Hawaii, and the United States. And we were able to do that from here at Fort Lee.
Oh, wow. So that's awesome that you're able to have that type of reach. So when your team goes out, are they doing operations here, or are they doing it with wherever the unit's actually training at?
So we operate here to provide the round-the-clock support from our exercise control cell, where our battle captains, our contracted support network specialists are located at. And from here, our personnel make sure that the sim is working properly in coordination with the local mission training center, which helps the training audience. Our folks that are with the training audience are in what is known as the response cell. The response cell is a group of soldiers from the training audience that are specifically assigned to provide the stimulus. What we call them as pucksters or digital warriors. They're manipulating the units on the battlefield. The training audience would be out in the field at their local unit, at their home station. They'll be reacting to that stimulus, whether it's Blue Force or as one of our partner units at the Mission Command Training Program. They will have an opposing force, that this way you have some type of competitive action. So we'll have people all across the training audience, whether it's here or out across the globe.
Okay, so I guess my next question kind of goes into like a little bit more on your team, like kind of the breakup or the build of your team. So those are all FA-57, like all on the officer side?
So I have FA-57 officers. I also have 90 Alpha officers. And I have sustainment non-commissioned officers, and I have one warrant officer billet currently is listed as a property book warrant, but we're working with the commandants here at Fort Lee and with Branch to, we've done an assessment on that position, and we see that we probably want to have a transportation warrant or a human resources warrant to help us better work with the complexities of LISCO for the to address a lot of the human resources needs, personnel replacement, finance, medical, and so on. So we're re-looking at our own TDA, our table of distribution and allowances, to make sure that our personnel that serve as a training tool help the training audience.
So I would see that those who serve on the team here can get a lot of experience, be able to go out and travel a lot, and really build their toolkit from seeing these different exercises.
Yes, just indeed.
From a ton of different areas.
Indeed. And we will readily put a captain or a sergeant first class into a training audience where they're dealing with lieutenant colonels, colonels, and sergeants majors. So our personnel, while the rank may not directly line up with the training audience, they have the skills to help them with using the tools that we provide, whether it's LogFed and or JDLM, to help them be successful in their training evolution, and that would be the training audience. And that's where our expertise as simulations officers, as logisticians, as multifunction non-commissioned officers, we can provide the training audience that expertise on the simulation to help them get after their commander's training objectives to prepare them for their next missions.
Awesome. So how would you look to describe more like the training environment of the SESD? I know we've kind of talked about you have some people there from the training unit that are coming in and being the response cell to help with inputting some stuff, but how would you actually fully describe it?
So what will happen is what you're kind of touching on is the exercise life cycle. Mm-hmm. So in order to talk about a warfighter, you have to talk about the training events that preceded it. So there's command post exercises that precede the warfighter. There's also planning engagements where our personnel will attend these planning meetings that are part of the exercise life cycle. And that's where we'll interact with the training audience to find out what they want to train on, whether it's setting up a support area, CASAVAC, whatever the training objectives are from the training audience, we're there to help out. And we work with not only our folks here at Fort Lee, but if we have a medical training objective, we'll reach out to our partners out at San Antonio. If we've got human resources, we'll get on the phone to folks at Fort Jackson and make sure that those folks are part of the planning.
So your team is part of it from the very, very beginning.
Yes.
Getting it. So,
and in some cases, we're planning multiple exercises. It could be the initial planning conference that we're at 1 week. The next week, we could be at a mid-planning conference. A week later, we could be at a final planning conference for 3 to 4 different training events. So there's a lot of the nuances between the different units we're training with that we may have to make sure that we're addressing their needs and try to avoid blending a particular training event and make sure that we are discreet about those things. Because what you don't want to do is bring one set of training objectives to another training audience that they weren't prepared to work on that. So we're very cautious about that. But the teams are really good about making sure that when they are going to, whether it's an active duty unit that's preparing for a warfighter or a state National Guard unit that's preparing for a homeland defense mission, they are very attuned to those training needs.
Okay, so that's things you work with active reserve and National Guard?
Yes, we work with the total Army.
Total Army?
Yes.
So, and then when you're doing some of these planning conferences, so essence, you could start planning with individuals and they're never even going to be part of the exercise because of the planning cycle. Is there like a long period between when your team starts working and the execution phase?
Absolutely right. Currently, planning to execute a warfighter, division or corps warfighter, takes about a year. And within that period of that year, there's PCS cycles, there's retirements. So it all is affected by how we do our job to help out the training audience. On the positive side, we have overlap within our teams. We make sure that there's always some person, whether it's uniform or civilian, that can continue the mission if someone leaves.
Wow, that's awesome. Like, just think about how your team is planning so far in advance and while at the same time executing training right now. So I can imagine you guys were always running.
Absolutely.
Feels like.
We did an all hands yesterday, and one of our team leaders mentioned this statistic, and I asked him, you know, what's so important about 150 days out of 188? What it meant was 150 days out of the past 188, we were engaged in an exercise, whether it was the conduct of the exercise, planning for the exercise, doing a setup for the exercise. We had people that were actively engaged on the sim, actively engaged in the database to ensure that the units that were being replicated. So if you look at, say, 1st Infantry Division has two Armored Brigade combat teams and all their other enablers. Well, all those pieces and parts, the tanks, the Bradleys, the helicopters, the trucks, personnel, all that had to line up in the sim. Otherwise, the commander of the 1st Infantry Division wouldn't get the same training value as if we had had, say, a brigade from 82nd, which doesn't have tanks. So it's very important that we not only make sure that the database that goes into the sim is accurate and correct, but it helps the training audience get after their mission.
So, and you focus on, of course, the sustainment side of the house. Do you ever do any interactions with the maneuver side and coordination?
Indirectly, we will. Indirectly. But we talk with other centers, other simulations, officers at other posts that are involved in the training. That's at the planning conferences. That's where the other entities who provide the sim will also gather with the training audience.
Okay.
You'll have, for a division or a corps warfighter, you could have joint representatives from the Air Force, the Navy, the Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Space Force, depending upon the training objectives. Some exercises like an austere challenge or a Yamasakura, we're going to have our allied partners also in the training room, in the training environment, rather, and working on the simulation. So we're very fortunate that we had the ability to support more than just U.S.
That's awesome. Yeah, so that kind of gets me to my next point is like going through some of your materials and trying to learn more about what you do, coming across your concept of building readiness, not replacing reality. Can you tell us more about that?
So by using simulations, which is pretty much short of live war, simulation allows training audiences to get in additional training repetitions, reps and sets. A lot of people, you'll hear people say that. So our focus is making sure that, one, we're informed by doctrine. So one of the graphics I brought in here, which folks can look at online, we are heavily informed by the tenets that are coming out of the 4.0 series of our doctrine, from ADP 4.0 and FM 4.0 to the ATP 4 series, whether it's 493 and so on. We heavily rely on those manuals to inform what we do in a training environment.
Awesome. So when you're building this readiness and you're building these exercises, how do you guys come up like the scenario? Like, do you build in your own scenarios or how does that come about?
So the scenario is going to be based off of what the training audience wants and where they're going to deploy to. Mm-hmm. So we contribute in that regard. The places where we can go with an excursion in training would be with what we do with some of our structured training analysis tools like war gaming, where we have created a tabletop war game that replicates a geographic region, not anything specific, but it takes into account land operations, littoral operations, and then a theater level campaign to get after training. The Mission Command training program, along with the training audience, will work on the scenario. And then we follow suit to help with the sustainment training.
Yeah, I remember that being set up during sustainment week. You had that game set up. So is that's part of like another asset that you guys can provide the training audience? Is this like a board game like that?
Absolutely. So our current training game that we have is called Sinews of War. It's a theater sustainment operations game. In fact, we just recently demonstrated it and conducted a war gaming with the TRADOC G2 out at Fort Eustis. Mr. Ian Sullivan and his team got together with us, and for about 4 or 5 hours, we conducted a theater-level sustainment game where the forces, red forces against blue forces, and in the case of the game, the forces of Murata were going up against the forces of Natoa in the fictional country of Keltia. And each had to do some type of sustainment event based off of some type of maneuver event. But the game is all about sustainment. The players have to plan out their tip fit, their time phase deployment of forces. They have to array their sustainment forces so that they're not delinked. And then you have combatant units that are subject to attack and then defeat. Because if a unit does come off the board, it could take over 7 turns of the game to get them back into the fight. There's no opportunity where you can just... We don't allow magic moves in this training environment. In some cases, a magic move in a sim is important because the training audience needs to get that training conducted. In our game, where the premise is helping participants get better at how to think and less of what to think.
So I'm a board game lover, very much enjoy it, especially strategy board games, all that kind of stuff. Is your the office the only one that has that, or can I go get this game somewhere?
So right now our office is the only one that has it. My deputy, Mr. Joe Cretian, has developed this game on his own time. He's a hobby gamer, and he looked at other games and has taken the tenets of sustainment doctrine, as I mentioned before, and used that to inform the game play. So while it's a game that has a hex board layout, so there's rules about maneuver, how many spaces you can go, it's still deeply rooted in sustainment doctrine. And it's something that we are evolving into a support piece. So if your office wanted to come over and do a leader development program session, maybe at lunch, bring your folks over. We'd love to have you. We're deeply involved right now. The warrant officer course has come over and asked us to help them with using Sinews of War as a board game to help their instructors get better at their craft. They're also looking at the next evolution of that is how can they get students into our office at SESD to play Sinews of War. We've also reached out to Track Lee, the analysis folks that are here at Fort Lee. They are also very interested in wargaming because wargaming as part of MDMP is, when you look at the chart for MDMP, military decision-making process, it's within COA analysis, step 4. What we're doing with wargaming is we're expanding it because wargaming allows participants to iteratively get after a problem in what some people will call a safe to fail or a safe to experiment or a safe to test environment. We're using Sinews of War to do that. In the development of the game, Mr. Cretian looked at a lot of historical examples, both deep history, so like the Prussians back in 1800s, all the way through contemporary examples. So you can look at recent events going on in Central Europe, in the Ukraine. You could look at things at the Nagorno-Karabakh War. But wargaming has its history. You can go back anywhere from the Prussian army to ancient Chinese civilizations that use wargaming to help train commanders. One of the most notable games is called Kriegsspiel, which is what the Prussian army used to train their commanders. And again, it helps participants get better at thinking of how to do things and not what to do things.
I think this has huge opportunity, and just I think this would be awesome just to see this expand. Having been an instructor at the career course, it'd be great to have the captains come in here as part of the train, be able to play that game and just really, I mean, you could send it out to division levels and have them be able to utilize that to, you know, fine tune their craft, especially before they go out and start doing CPX or the Warfighter exercise. But I think you guys really have something there, especially because me, I love board games. I love strategy games. I think this would be an awesome thing that you guys could really expand upon.
And we are, in fact, Mr. Cretian's been in contact with some game developers and game designers to find out how we can get this published. There's also an entity over at Fort Eustis, ATSC, which is also part of CAC, where they have the ability to do multimedia production. So we're in conversation with Colonel John Lopes and his team over at ATSC. So we're going to see about what we can do to essentially create additional copies of the game, because right now we have one. So we are very open to having folks come over to SCSD at the Simulation Training Center, which is adjacent to Army Sustainment University and Buckner Hall. And we will happily look at how we can get your folks over, whether it's instructors from the career course. We've had some instructors from the basic officer course come over and take a look at it. The warrant officer courses are very excited about this. And they're looking at it from the perspective of not just the instructors, because we offer it as the instructors as just an excursion from being on the platform, to how could this work its way into the curriculum to train students. Our concept for this is to help expand the thinking. And we're very open to having that conversation with any of the leadership to see how we can take this game that we're using right now and incorporate it into training at any echelon, at any level. Other DoD entities like the Navy and the Marine Corps, they are using gaming to train their enlisted, their lower enlisted, and their junior officers. Right now, in some instances in the Army, leaders don't see wargaming until maybe the war college or at senior levels. Being able to provide gaming at any echelon is what we want to be able to provide. Generationally, I grew up as not a gamer, but I have grown to see and appreciate the value of tabletop gaming. Some folks will immediately say, well, are you just doing Dungeons and Dragons? Say, well, that's one way to look at it. And if that helps the context, that helps the conversation for other folks to understand, great. We'll also say it could also be compared to playing Risk or Stratego. Another example of wargaming could be, you know, in the interwar period between World War I and World War II, the Department of Defense, the War Department, had these plans, the Rainbow Plans. And one of those most famous plans was called Plan Orange, which was the Battle of the Pacific. The Navy fought Plan Orange so many iterations that, anecdotally, naval officers and naval personnel that played Plan Orange understood the entire battle for the Pacific Theater and have remarked, this is just like what I did at Newport in their training facility. And at Newport, they actually have a floor, has black and white tiles, and they use that to replicate the Pacific Theater with the water and the land. So it can get pretty involved. Our game right now is based to help train divisions and corps, but with a little bit of maybe make a different modification to the game, we could get this down to company battalions.
Well, that's an amazing feat there, just be able to adapt the game to different levels. But then also, I think you really hit on a great point, is this, how especially in history, you know, you just referred back to World War II, between World War I and World War II, just doing these simulations, doing this training, and how vital that is to prepare for the next flight to really increase the lethality. And what your office is able to provide really prepares sustainers for the next fight when it comes to large-scale combat operations.
And as I mentioned earlier, a warfighter takes about a year to plan. Thousands of man hours, computers, networks, travel. A tabletop game can be set up and run during lunch. We would almost call that a low overhead, low cost simulation. Anything short of war is a simulation, whether it's electrical, digital, or analog. And tabletop games like this help training audiences, help staffs, help whomever get better at their craft. In the case of our game, Sinews of War, the sustainment elements that you have to be planning for, commodities of supply, class 1, class 3, class 5, personnel replacement operations, theater enablers. What does the country that you're operating in have, and how can those be used by the division commander, the corps commander, the theater commander? And you can play that out in an afternoon. You're still informed by doctrine, and you can pull any of the doctrinal manuals that I've laid out here on the table to help with your training. And if you make a mistake, okay, it's a game. We can always step back a few turns if need be, and allow the training audience to get better in the conduct of their game.
No, I love that. And I just hope if anybody out there, at the end, of course, we're going to talk about where they can reach you out, but definitely reach out to you. I think that's a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
So one of the things I know you would I wanted to get into is the sustainment staff simulation training. You had published an article back in, the fall edition of the Army Sustainment Professional Bulletin back in 2025, so last fall. It was titled Strengthening the Foundation, Elevating the Sustainment Staff to New Heights. Can you tell us more about this sustainment staff simulation training?
Absolutely. So we recognized that there was a gap in training when we were, as we're planning for our theater level exercises. Typically during home station training, maneuver units are able to support some of these exercises a little bit better than sometimes the sustainers can. So we were approached by now Brigadier General Vivek Trishipal when he was working here at CASCOM, and he asked for our help. He said he was putting together a brand new staff as he was taking command of the 364th ESC, and he was preparing for deployment to the CENTCOM Theater of Operations. So recognizing that he wasn't going to be in a large-scale constructive simulation for several months, he needed something for his staff. Brand new chief of staff, brand new three, brand new four, brand new SPO, to be able to do something together. As reserve component officers, they knew each other individually, one-on-one, but they never had an opportunity to work together as a group. And General Trishipal really wanted to have some type of a collective training event to build the bond for his team. So what we did was, through a we developed some training vignettes to help his staff actually just go through staff processes. One of the big concerns that General Trishipal had in the beginning was the battle rhythm, a collection of engagements that the staff does to, you know, to keep things informed, to collect information requirements, keep the boss informed so he or she can make decisions in a timely and accurate manner. Well, General Trishipal said to me, well, I'm just going to fall in on what the other unit has, and we're just going to run with that. My initial response was, well, what if it's broken and you need to fix it? What are you going to do? And he actually paused and started to reflect on that. So the first thing we did with General Trishipal and his staff was we actually ran them through what goes into an effective battle rhythm, understanding what the information requirements are, what you should do to collect on those, how you transfer just an information requirement into a commander's critical information requirement, or in the other elements within CCIRs you can find in several doctrinal publications. Once they understood that part of it, it helped them free up the staff to be able to do their planning. And from the battle rhythm conversation, we then went into a vignette of, given a set of circumstances, here's the problem to the staff, start working it out. So we had General Trishipal and his 364th ESC staff in our building at the Simulation Training Center here at Fort Lee, and they literally took over one of our conference rooms. They used all of our dry erase boards to map out what they needed to do. They all came in with some biases, which is good. You have to start from something. And then they were able to coalesce as a team. The chief of staff was able to help the staff see the bigger picture, and each one of the staff members was able to articulate how their part of the process fit into the overall conduct of the command. We facilitated the training, but we didn't run it. It was General Trishipal's staff, so we just enabled him to help get after those training objectives. What we saw as a great advantage for the reserve component forces was this didn't require a simulation. It didn't require thousands of man hours to set up. It was a human engagement facilitated by our team. Our team, again, consists of simulations officers, logistics officers, and multifunction non-commissioned officers and contractors, and we were able to help them improve their readiness. Their next major training event, following four or five assemblies, also known as drills in the National Guard, they engaged with First Army, and they were better prepared for their training with First Army ahead of their certifying event, and then ultimately their deployment to CENTCOM. General Trishipal has since returned, and we invited him back to the office, and we said, okay, sir, from where you were when we first started this, through your deployment and then back, what sort of feedback to have for us? And he sat with us for a couple hours, and we collected great insights, great observations, and lessons learned that we're going to incorporate into future evolutions of what we call S3T. This is the same as simulation staff training.
So is that something you're still developing, what it's going to fully be for the next iterations right now?
It's a work in progress. We've had a few other ESCs contact us. Thanks to General Treshapol's networking. He knows a lot of folks, and they've reached out to us. So it's very tailorable. The one concern we have is how do we balance doing this like-to-do training against the what we have-to-do training. And again, our have-to-dos is what we've been tasked with from CAC-T, which is support CPXs and warfighters. So providing the training to the to forces that ask for it, we have to do a good analysis on what our availability is. And then in an environment where resources are being very constrained or very focused, we're very judicious in that. We've looked at how can we do some of these exercises where we're completely on teams. That allows a greater level of participation without any travel. So we're able to look at that. In some cases, some of these units are looking at how can they come here to Fort Lee and work with us at SESD.
It's great to see how just a simple conversation now has burst this entire new train. So that's awesome just to be able to see how you now have this staff, or as you said, this is the S3T, the staff simulation train just now. That, and even though it's still in its development, but just to see the fruits of your labor from just that simple conversation, how well it performed, that low cost, and now just to see where that can go to. Because I think that's great how, you know, you get a whole new brand new staff together. You need something simple like that to really synchronize the staff into one functioning unit. So I'm looking forward to see how that continues to grow, how you guys adapt that across the force.
Yeah, we're looking forward to. Like I said, we've had several introductory conversations with other sustainment units. Thankfully, through the cooperation and coordination with General Treshapol. So we look forward to how those other engagements would pan out. Also, what was also very helpful for us was during Sustainment Week here at Fort Lee, those training units that were in attendance were able to see what the simulations look like on how we operate it, have a deeper discussion on S3T, and also see how board gaming can help. As I mentioned a little bit earlier, sometimes board gaming is generationally influenced. Myself, as an older officer, I didn't have the experience of using wargaming, but the junior officers, the junior enlisted, are doing a lot of wargaming, whether it's on an electronic device or actually rolling dice and figuring out outcomes, like in a Dungeons & Dragons or Stratego or something like that. So it's very exciting that this is a skill set that doesn't require rank or an MOS. It's a passion to get after being immersed in a training environment at a low cost, easy to set up, easy to facilitate. And what my office is doing is we're looking at how do we bridge the professional knowledge that our officers, our non-commissioned officers, our warrant officers, our Army civilians have from years of military experience, and bridging that with the generational interest and passion for gaming. So we're looking at how we can bring those two together. And that's where it gets very exciting from a training perspective.
I love it. Just love that whole app. I love that whole thing. So kind of the wrap us up here, just give you an opportunity to, is there anything that we missed today that you wanted to highlight to the audience from your organization?
So I guess the highlight from our organization, so the Sustainment Exercises Simulation Directorate here at Fort Lee is a sustainment training capability unique to the United States Army. We can go just about anywhere. We support more than just MCTP events. We support more than just home station training events. We support more than just Army service component events, more than just joint events. And we do that with a team of dedicated professionals to provide the sustainment enterprise with training that helps to improve their readiness and prepare for the challenges of multi-domain operations.
Awesome. So to close this out, what advice do you have for the sustainment community from all your years?
So as an armor officer, I don't have a whole lot of experience with the sustainers except being a customer. But what I would offer is, given that we are here at Fort Lee, we can help any of the teams here, any of the Commandant schools, any of the schools, any of the staffs that are looking to conduct want to add to their leader development program and want to bring gaming into it, we can help out. If they want to see what goes into the sustainment planning before a collective training event, like a command post exercise or a warfighter exercise, reach out. We'll find a way to get everyone together and show you how we do that training for the larger training audience.
So if people would have additional questions, they want to follow up with you, and they want to ask about the board, the board game or simulation stuff, or for the staff simulation, where can they reach you at?
So we're here at Great, like I said, we're here at Fort Lee. We're in the Sim Training Center, adjacent to Army Sustainment University, right on Quarters Road. I would say, shoot me an email, and I'll happily get you guys linked up with the right folks within our operations center. As a simulations officer, I've been trained to not say no. I may counter with not now, but we'll find a way. If a training unit, a training office, any school here is looking to do some training that we can facilitate, we'll find a way.
Well, I want to thank you, sir, for coming in today, providing all your wisdom, your knowledge here, just providing an opportunity to sit down to better understand your organization and what it provides to the force, really getting a chance to dive into the board game. I'm excited to definitely try that out myself, and provide just our listeners just this insight so they can take it back to the formations and how they can apply this, reach out to organizations and be able to partner with and work with you so that they can increase their lethality and prepare themselves for whatever the future may hold. But once again, I just wanted to thank you, sir.
It's been a privilege, Garrett. Thank you so much for having me. As I continue the work for SESD as part of the Combined Arms Now Command for training, we look forward to any opportunity to help any training audience improve their readiness through any training means that we have at our disposal. Thanks again for having me.
Of course, sir. Very glad to have you. And to everyone out there, make sure you reach out, get in touch with this team over here at Fort Lee, and just find ways to integrate them into your training. Once again, thank you, sir, for coming in today. But that is all we have, folks. Enjoy the rest of the summer season. And as always, sustainment leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.